And as usual, my regular Monday guest, Chris Carey, is in the house to discuss our classic pick of the week and to turn off his phone. Yeah,
usually it's on silence, but
it's
not
quite all right.
On today.
Real people, real radio. We're here to talk about a band that I and basically anyone that knows you, probably even passingly, you love ELO.
I do. Well,
you
I think
really do.
I honestly think that, I mean, they were, ELO is an incredibly complex band, but yet incredibly accessible and easy to listen to. And there's not a lot of people that could pull off what Jeff Lynne did.
has a unique talent as a composer, as a producer, as an arranger, so many more things. But you brought in an ELO release that you're particularly excited about.
Yeah. So this is El Dorado. It was the band's fourth release. Came out September 28th, 1974. So 45 years ago this month. Subtitled A Symphony by the Electric Light Orchestra. El Dorado was also the band's first concept album and the first LP that Jeff Lynne actually utilized his dream of actually incorporating an orchestra in the recording of this. Prior to that, they did do orchestral kind of stylings, but they were always usually done as overdubbed recordings of different string groups and that kind of thing. This is the first time that Jeff Lynne actually utilized a full orchestra in the recording of the album. I mean, their first three LPs, their self-titled debut and ELO 2 and On the Third Day, all did okay. There was a couple of minor hits, but they did a little bit better in the UK. They really didn't make much of a scene here. And so by the time they started working on this album, they were still kind of under the radar. They weren't the huge behemoth that they became towards the end of the decade. The recording of this was done February to August in 74 at Lane Lee Studios, which is actually it was utilized mostly for TVs and movies in London, but some really big acts, including the little known acts known as the Beatles and Queen and Rolling Stones and the
Bee
Gees and the Who, all did some recording at this small studio. And Jeff Lynne, like on every other ELO record, gets production credit. Like I said, this was the first album where he actually used the entire orchestra. And on top of, you know, arranging and writing and lead singing and producing the record, he also played most of the bass tracks on the album, as well as a lot of the backing vocals on the album. So, I mean, ELO, not that there weren't other people that played with ELO, but, you know, essentially ELO was always, you know, Jeff Lynne's project and, you know, kind of idea. This was the first concept album that ELO did, and it's kind of loosely, he kind of came up with the idea of this Walter Mitty kind of dreamer kind of character before he ever even put a note to paper. So that's kind of cool too. And you can kind of see it. I mean, it's not a real strong, you know, it's not like Rush 2112 where it's right there at you, but you can kind of see the concept in it when you know that and you listen to the different songs. He wrote this album in response, and a lot of people consider this the first time that ELO truly successfully kind of melded pop rock and orchestral music all in one album. And his father, who was a huge classical music aficionado, had always been pretty tough on Jeff Lynne with his first few records. He felt like they weren't melodic enough with enough theme. So partly because of his father's critical assessments of his earlier albums, it got him to come out with this album, which, like I said, I think, and I don't think it's just me that would say this, I think a lot of critics would probably say this was the first true great ELO album. And I think, you know, ELO's got an incredibly strong, you know, discography. There's a lot of really good stuff there, and it's the kind of stuff that, even though there's like songs that you've heard a lot, when you start delving in deep on all of ELO albums, there's always some just amazing songs that weren't hits, but they're really great. And there's a lot of just sounds that, like, you're kind of not even sure where they came from. And, you know, and then Jeff Lynne was actually quoted in one magazine that he was trying to pick up where the Beatles left off. And in a lot of ways, he kind of did that. And he was, there's, you know, an overt Beatlesque properties about every one of his songs. So I think, you know, he's conscious about the Beatles, but the guy also loves classical music, obviously. And you see that in all of these in all of these songs. And then he loves classic rock and roll. Like, you can, and there's always a lot, at least one song on every album has a kind of Chuck Berry kind of vibe.
Yeah, I've always thought about Jeff Lynne's brain as just some sort of crazy galaxy. You know, it's got all sorts of planets and stars and spinning weird moons and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. I think his brain is pretty boundless in terms of what he can imagine bringing to a sonic palette. So
yeah, and it's amazing. And so with, not only was this the first album that critics really gravitated to and realized that ELO was kind of a force to be reckoned with, it was also the very first time that they charted in the U.S. on the Billboard chart, and it was the first gold record that ELO had. Of course, you know, by the late 70s, with Out of the Blue, they were one of the biggest rock acts in the world, but here they were still kind of a newer band. But they grew later, you know, in later years. After 86, Jeff Lynne kind of got bored with the ELO format, and he kind of stopped doing that. But then he co-founded the Traveling Wilburys, which is also like probably one of the most super groups it's ever been.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever just been laying around doing nothing.
No, he hasn't. I mean, and you know, they're a huge band. You know, aside from history, they've sold, in that original 14-year period, they sold over 50 million records. So I mean, they did their fair share. An interesting thing is, I found out that ELO holds the record for the most top 10 hits with never having a number one. So they've had...
Interesting. They never quite...
No, I know.
Grab the gold,
that really bums me out. But yeah, they had 20 top 10 hits.
Very good. I'm speaking with Chris Carey about our classic pick of the week. ELO's El Dorado came out right around this time, about 45 years ago. It is our classic pick. Anything else to add before we get into your first selection?
Well, first we were going to play Mr. Kingdom, which was the first song on the second side. And it's a deep track, but what I like about it, it's overtly referencing the Beatles. The first few bars is the same melody as Across the Universe from Beatles' Let It Be.
Oh, very good. Thanks so much, Chris.
Oh, thanks.